proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
What does a church look like that pleases Jesus Christ? What are the kind of ministries that really do please Him? We're considering that today on Abounding Grace Radio. You're welcome to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, the web address is agradio.org. The message you are about to hear is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and it's titled, The Church That Sounded Out, and how I wish that every church today would fit the model that is here given in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, a church that pleased the Lord Jesus Christ.
And if you could sum up today's message, you know, you could say this: when a church receives the gospel in a way that pleases Christ, there are all sorts of remarkable fruits that are happening in that place. Remarkable. Conversely, when the gospel's not being received the way that it should be, there are all sorts of bad fruits springing up in that place. My goal this morning, then, in this passage, is knowing the affection and love that I have for this and the church that I serve. This is a burden for me as a pastor. It's a burden for any pastor who cares about the flock of Christ. But I want you to ask this morning, to challenge us, I want you to ask the question this morning, if you are, as a body, continuing to progress and go forward in a way that pleases Christ. I want you to ask that. It's a good testing question. That's important for us to do as Christians. This is what we do, test ourselves. And the Thessalonian church is a particular help because it's a lens to look through and say, that's a great goal for us. That's a great goal for us because this church is particularly commended by Christ in very unique ways. The first thing that Paul does here is essentially what he does, and this is my first point if you're taking notes. He rehearses the evidences among them that the gospel has had an effect in its hearing and in the effect, the fruits of it. Paul's writing to this predominantly Gentile church, and he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed by one thing: the evidence of the gospel. What's going on in this church? And he's essentially saying to them, dear Christians, we are overwhelmed in gratitude for you. We got to get this out right at the beginning of the epistle. We are praying for you always. We're praying because this is a remarkable thing that's going on in Thessalonica. This is rare for us. Missionaries are talking about you guys. Look at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. That is so important, isn't it? Talk about an encouragement right at the beginning. He rehearses three things that all the apostles are standing back saying, man, you know about that church in Thessalonica? You know what we're seeing in Thessalonica? Missionaries are saying there is something remarkable going on in Thessalonica. We're overwhelmed by your work of faith, labor of love, and patience and hope in the Lord Jesus. We see it. We see it. When the apostles talk about you guys, this is what's dominating our conversation. We are so impressed. And he says, we're breaking out into prayer when we think about you. What an encouragement for the church of Jesus Christ. But notice how he begins. The first kind of fruit that he mentions here is your work of faith. You have faith, hope, and love put together here in the beginning, and they're connected with actions. So he knows that this church believes, and he's taken here by the fruits of all of this. He's looking at all the fruits of this, and there are all sorts of works flowing out of this church. There's all sorts of things happening. And Calvin would even say about this particular passage, which I thought was a wonderful way to capture it. He says, there was a rare energy in this church, showing itself powerfully. There's this strange heat. You might even use the language of diffusing of an aroma that everyone knew. From the good root of faith, there's something just bursting out of you. What's remarkable is the labor of love. Strenuous efforts of love are going on in your church. Now, if you're going to say strenuous, it tells you it's a rare thing to see. There's real love happening. Members are sacrificing their lives for one another. There's forgiveness. There's real care. Evidence here of love. And it goes without saying that darkness and unbelief will bring about what in a church then? Members not getting along. Members not forgiving. It's so rare, missionaries are talking about it. It's all on their minds. How then does this happen? Where does that come from? This just doesn't come about naturally. Where does this come from? Well, that's the million-dollar question. And if I asked you, what do you think produces this? What do you think happens in the life of the church that brings about this kind of fruit, that things brings about something that the apostles could say, man, we see your election. Well, look at verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. Love that. And in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Stop. What made this church abound in this kind of praise, it's how they received the gospel. It's how they received it. Our gospel came to you in power. Holy Spirit flourishing it among you. We see that. We know that. But here's what happened in you. You received it. How so? The New King James is interesting here. In verse 6, it says, you became followers of us and of the Lord. That's not the best word. That's not the best translation. You know what the word actually is? You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You imitated us. You say, well, whoa. How did a church imitate God? How can you imitate God? Well, the answer, I believe, in that is seen when you answer the question, what was God's disposition towards them? What was God like to them? I know Pastor Stromberg recently preached on Numbers 6. It's a wonderful thing to say this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord do what? Make his face, turn his face, smiling countenance, to shine upon you. That's what he does. He doesn't do that to the wicked. He does that to his people. He turns his face and he shines a smile on them of blessing and love. At the end of Romans, you know, Paul gave this doxology. And he said, you know, God is able to strengthen you according to the gospel. You don't realize this, but what you get from the Lord, the kind of attitude you get from the Lord is one of being excited to bring you his gospel. Think about this. You ever thought that he's so beneficent, he's so wonderful, he's full of love to his people, so gracious, he devised and thought about in his eternal counsel a whole gospel plan where he would do everything for you and he would accomplish all that the law demanded as you look to his son. He made this agreement with his son that the son would come and that the son would be the propitiation for your sins. And he, from the beginning, when he wanted that announced, he wanted and he came to you with joy. God. Think of the imagery of the Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. When the young prodigal returned, what was the imagery of that father? What was the attitude of that father? Oh, that son's just a reprobate. No. He came running. And he threw the robe around him. Son, it's all yours. I receive you. He was so excited, he threw a feast. When the gospel was announced at the birth of Christ, do you remember what the angels said? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. See the excitement from heaven? Angels come and they bring down from heaven good news. In fact, then what did God do? Notice Paul says here, you became imitators of us and of God. Then God put that joy in his servants. God put this excitement in his servants. And notice how this is characterized in the scriptures, that they were trained. He would raise servants up and train them in the joy of the gospel. That joy is not in preaching. Beware. He'd train them up in the joy of the gospel, and they just wouldn't walk to you. They wouldn't. They're not pictured as ever just kind of coming in and pounding. No. They came running with good news to you, publishing glad tidings of great joy to you. That's what they did. That's what God did. The angels did. And God says, I want you to look at my runner here. You know, I've touched their lips. I've put excitement in their hearts for the gospel, and how beautiful are their feet. Now he looks at this church and he says, I want you to think about this. You are imitating us and God. How so? Verse 6. You, brothers and sisters, imitated us in the Lord, for you received the word. In other words, what he's saying there is, it was in your joyous, exciting reception of God's word that you imitated what God did when he sent it. Jesus endured it with joy, the cross for you. Remember, isn't that a remarkable statement in Hebrews? For the joy that was set before him, he's going to be crucified. You say, what do you mean? The joy that was set before him to go to the cross. He goes and he does this so you'd be saved. And then he puts it in the hearts of his servants who come out and tell you about it. And this church, yes, give it to me. This church is just burning with excitement over it. In fact, look in the next chapter of 1 Thessalonians at verse 13. I mean, you can just read it right here. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Oh, you were excited about it. And you didn't welcome it as some kind of word from men. No. You welcomed it as it is in truth. The word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. Effectively works. The Thessalonians came to church and they were so eager and they said, give it to us, Pastor. You know, when the servant preached, they looked at God's messenger and the man bringing joyful good news, and they're sitting there saying, wow. Can you picture it? The spirit of this church on Sunday? They're eager to come in. They've got their Bibles. Well, they didn't have them first century, but you have them. They didn't waste away Saturday night. They prepared their hearts and minds, you know, because hearing is a very difficult thing. And they were anxious to hear. I have one guy in the church in Escondido who comes out of paganism, and he always says to me, he says, you know what my favorite part of the service is? When you put up the hands and bless. He says, that overwhelms me. God's blessing me. When the word was unshackled in the days of the Reformation, they would have reading services because, you know, the people didn't have Bibles, you know this, and they would read the scriptures. And as they read the scriptures, there would be such hunger for this, and they would all gather. Remember, they had to bolt the Bibles to the pews because they'd be stolen. But you imagine for the first time hearing this because it had been kept away from you by Rome. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's old hat to us, isn't it? Is it? The mouth of the soul was open in worship. And as God was laying down his smiling face upon them, they're smiling and receiving it. They're imitating God in their reception. Do you understand that the gospel cannot be received without a joyful heart? It can't. That's Calvin. I just quoted Calvin. The gospel can't be received without the joy of the Lord. You could never come and hear it and receive it unless his joy is filling you, unless his peace has quieted your heart. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? Now, most of us today, I'd say, you're not under heavy trial, are you? You're not under heavy trial, are you? You don't have knives put up to your neck. You're not losing your wealth. There's absolutely no reason to not have joy, is it, right? All of it would be quite a bit harder to receive the gospel if you were under severe trial right now. Maybe you are in some form. Now, maybe think about the worst kind of scenario that would challenge your joy. Well, no one has death threats given to them. And here's where I think this church really challenges us in the reception of it. Look again at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, that is so counter, that doesn't make sense. What do we do in affliction? This church was under severe persecution, brothers and sisters. Severe persecution. They had their wealth taken away. Their lands were being taken away. They were fugitives in their cities. They were heavily assaulted. Can you imagine if one of the members got dragged out in the open square today? That's what happened. False teachers were plaguing them. False ideas pawned off as Christian in this community in Thessalonica. And Paul's saying, you received the word in affliction with joy by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more in conflict with our joy, it would seem, than trials and afflictions. And here's where Paul says the power was shown. Notice that word, dunamis, power. The Holy Spirit was showing power in this church that when God published his gospel and people in the midst of the hardships and trial received it with just exciting joy. Listen to Calvin. There's nothing more in conflict with our natural dispositions than to rejoice in afflictions. What is the one thing we're all trying to beat in life? Hardship. We look at situations, oh, that's treated so badly. Got a piles of hardship that come down our way. Trial. Well, that affliction was for you. That affliction was for your family. That affliction came. And And we get angry and we get bitter and we make all of our actions based on that. And we break fellowship or we run. We do all these kind of things. And what begins to happen to the hearing of God's word in the midst of trial and affliction? Well, you'll hear a parable about a sower tonight. You know what happened in this church? As the affliction came and they received the word with joy, a great consequence happened. It caused a powerful witness in the community. Powerful. Look at verse 7. As you received the word readily with joy in the hardships, look at verse 7. You became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. All the churches are talking about you guys. All the churches are looking, saying, whoa, we did not know that could happen in affliction. We did not know that kind of joy could be birthed out of affliction. And notice two things he says in verse 9. For these churches declare what manner of entry we had to you. They're all talking about how you guys turned from idols to the worship of the true and living God. Now you understand why they're being persecuted, right? They took a stand in their community against idolatry. And they said, we can't do that. And they boldly received the word, and in love, they spoke that word. We don't have this problem in American cities, though. Do we? Of idolatry? We surely don't have that problem in Linden, do we? Everyone's in worship on Sunday. Idolatry is just as much in Linden as it was in first century Thessalonica. Now, if you take a stand for something here, what do you get? What does that look like? Well, I think you should worship on the Sabbath. Sabbath. I think you shouldn't profane God's holiness. What will persecution look like in Linden? I mean, that's the question you've got to ask. What does that look like in Linden? Sometimes I think that we are so desperately trying to be liked that we've forgotten that following Jesus means you're going to suffer some kind of persecution. But I'm asking the question, what's the extent of it in Linden? You think you're better than us. Oh, yeah, sure. No, I don't think I'm better than you. That's your persecution. Most would say that's not persecution, but if we're honest, how much has that little statement held us back and been scared of publishing our convictions against idolatry and from speaking boldly on what we should speak boldly about? I think sometimes we're not even willing and ready to stand for something simply because we fear we're going to be disliked. That's the extent of it. I was listening on the way up here to a radio talk show, and he took a public stand against something. And one of his most devoted listeners called into the program and says, you know, I don't think you should have said that. He says, why? Because of how everyone's going to think. The truth didn't matter at that point. It was only about, I don't want my hero to be disliked. Well, Jesus is disliked all the way to the cross. We forget that what is really happening in our reception of truth is persecution. But don't lose sight of what's happening when we are filled with joy in the receiving of it. Wonderful fruits come out. And so he says in verse 8, from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. In other words, your faith towards God has been a sound out. I mean, this is a sound out. Members of this church had received it, and you know what they did? Man, that joy overtook them, and they're out speaking so positively about the news that they're hearing. They're out telling others about this good news that they receive on the Lord's Day from a publisher of it. It's sounding out, and everyone's talking about it. Some may not like it, but they're still talking about it. Christ is on their lips. Christ is in their hearts. Christ is the joy of their life, and it's overtaken them, and you can't help. It's like the demoniac. Go tell others the wonderful things that the Lord has done for you. How can I not? Verse 10 says, they're waiting for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's the goal of all of this. He's coming. But I close with this morning, because I think my time's probably up. This church had that kind of reputation in Thessalonica. And I would ask this of my church that I'm serving now. I'm sure Pastor Stromberg would ask this of you. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask it for him. And then if you get mad, you can get mad at me. I drive out now. See. Is this true of you? I believe it is, but I'm not here anymore. Is there a rare energy of faith showing forth itself from that good root of work springing out? Is there a labor of love? Is there in the tribulations hope and endurance? And looking at them as not trying to take them down or go a different route, but say, you know, God ordained that. He allowed it to happen. I'm going to submit to it and see it as an avenue of my own sanctification. Are you receiving the word in the joy of the Holy Spirit? It's not that the other churches in the New Testament, you know, who were chastised, didn't receive the same message. They received the same message from faithful preachers. But the church that truly makes the difference, the church that truly stands out, the church that truly sounds out in the way that pleases Christ, which is our greatest concern, won't be the church that has all the other stuff. It's not that. You've heard all that. It's the church where of the members it is said, this is said. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures to see if the things were so.
Well, we're grateful you tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We hope this message was a blessing to you in learning how to receive God's word. You can visit us on the website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.